Charlie Engelman joins us right now. Charlie is one of the hosts and creators of Weird But True, a television show that if you're not watching yet, hopefully you'll pick up on it and start watching. It's just been renewed for its second season. And Charlie, you fit under the category, one of our favorite categories, local guy made good. You're from Northfield.
Yeah, north of Evanston.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? All right, for people who are not aware of the show, explain what Weird But True is, please.
So Weird But True is a kids' science show that's funded by National Geographic. So we travel around the entire United States and pick a subject like space travel or like survival in Alaska or diving with sharks. And we kind of explain the weird science behind that subject. Mm-hmm. And we explain it all using crafts and costumes and fun skits that we all film in the basement of my parents' house on the north side, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And
no, I mean, big old studio somewhere?
You know, we just pop in
the basement. It's like Wayne's World.
Yeah, you know. like a couple times we need a dog, and so we brought in my dog Winnie, and she appeared on the show a couple times. My sister, who runs a bakery, we like strung her in. We're like, hey, we need another person. So she kind of just hopped right in there. And, yeah, so that's pretty much it.
So how does something with such humble beginnings, because it does, as Wendy pointed out, it sounds like cable local access, but it's not. It's big time. Mm-hmm. How'd you swing this?
So it all kind of started with a grant that I won from National Geographic. I won a $50,000 grant to produce a web series that I pitched into a show, which was like a 10-minute show. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same vibe where it's kind of really homey. It was just me and my friends, and we used kind of crafts to explain things. And it's got such kind of a unique aesthetic and a goofiness and an aura of fun that you don't see on any other really science shows out there. So once Nat Geo saw it, they loved it and picked us up for a kind of a real show, I guess. They wanted us to make a 30-minute one. So I guess it's just, it's really its own unique thing, and there's nothing else like it on television. So it just kind of sparked their interest, I guess.
All right. Was it tough to go from a 10-minute thing to a 30-minute thing? Because all of a sudden, it just got real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, like a 10-minute thing, you can think of something like, oh, I'm going to talk about giant sequoias. So we're going to go climb giant sequoias in California, right? But for 30 minutes, you got to think, like, how do I stretch out this tiny bit for so long? And I've never written a TV show before, so it was a little tough to get started, but...
So knowing that, does the network say, well, Charlie's very new at this, we need to send somebody to kind of police him and make sure he's doing this according to the rules, or did that not happen?
Well, you think that would happen, right?
Yeah.
And you think, like, I'm 24, so there's no way that I'm going to write a television show, and they're going to be like, let's do it, but... going into it, I guess they liked it so much, and we worked with a production company out in Philadelphia who had a lot of confidence in me and my sister Kirby, who co-hosts it, her ability to be on camera. So they kind of just let us go for it.
Yeah.
And it's what you get is this show where we're just really like fool around and have fun, and it's kind of like just unfiltered goofiness with some science in there.
Have you always been a fan of science? I love science, and if you can, science is really fun, but it depends how it's taught. Like sometimes elementary school science teachers are not having fun with it, but you are having fun with this, and you're quirky. You really can identify any tree from the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
So combine that with loving science and being kind of a quirky dude.
I guess it just works out. I've always been a science communicator, but I've never, as weird as it sounds, I've never really liked watching science documentaries or science television shows, or even, like you said, like falling asleep in science class, because the science communicators out there are not too great. They're kind of inherently boring, so you gotta have fun with it. And the part of science that I love is, as weird as it sounds, like those trees. Like, I'm really into trees because learning about trees, the different types of leaves, the different types of branching patterns, you can walk outside and, like, even looking outside the studio right now, there are a couple trees or bushes out here that have names and there are different things going on science-wise, so... Just being able to look at the world in a different way is so great to me, and it opens up my eyes.
Of course.
And that's what we try to do in the show, you know, take a subject like a shark or like space and explain all the weird things behind it. Like, you can't burp in space, or you grow 4 centimeters
in
space.
Why can't you burp in space?
I think it's
rude.
It's something with, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be rude in the space station.
What, the air won't come out?
It's got to be something with zero Gs or no gravity or something like that. The gas just kind of collects in your stomach.
Oh.
So.
What about releasing it the other way? Can you do that in space?
I would assume it's the same way.
These are the questions I have,
which is probably good. It'll get clogged up in the space.
How do you think Buzz Aldrin got his name?
Anyway, have you had the urge to call up any of your science teachers and say, Charlie, hey, I got my own science TV show. How are things on your end? Did you ever even consider that or not?
Oh, I don't. I like to. I've called up a couple of them or shot them an email and be like, hey, thanks for, you know, inspiring me, yeah, and getting me really excited about this stuff. Yeah, because, I mean, that's where it all starts, right? When you're little, and
yeah,
you hear something from a teacher that gets you really amped up, and you want to kind of tell your friend right when you go home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're too young to know this, but there have been television shows that kind of remind me of what you're doing. There was a show on called Make-A-Wish for a while. It wasn't about science, but they would just take a word or a subject and do essentially what you're doing with science.
Uh-huh.
And then In the News was a show on CBS that for a while were explaining big stories to kids in a way that they would appreciate. So even though you're too young to know those shows, there's kind of a lineage that came before yours.
Yeah, it's, you know, kind of in the same vein. I mean, people bring up like Bill Nye sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
People bring up Mr. Wizard going like way
Don
back.
Don Herbert.
Yeah, I've never seen it. But
no, you'd love it. It's really good.
It's the same thing, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But that's what, I mean, a lot of science communicators, I think, some of the topics that you talk about when you talk about physics,
mm-hmm,
it's really easy for people who are science geeks to get like really amped out about electrons or something like that. But you got to remember that like kids or non-science enthusiasts are going to get bored to heck if you talk about just these tiny specific things. So
sure,
that's why I try to make it fun and goof around and bring my dog in and stuff like that, you know.
Well, that's going to capture a kid's attention more. Mm-hmm. And you're going to inspire young scientists all over the place. You realize that, right? This is a good thing.
That's the goal. I mean, hopefully, right?
Yeah,
that's what you want.
Is it easy or difficult to work with your sister on a daily basis on a TV show?
It's easy and hard. I'm catching.
I know. You're being very careful.
We had to make 17 episodes of this show in 5 months. So it was really, we were rocking like 12, 14 hour days, 7 days a week. So, I mean, when you're working with anybody, you're bound to butt heads. But the greatest thing with me and my sister is if we were on screen at the same time and we had to rehearse a bit or we had to say something, we'll do a take and then we can look at each other and kind of know what change we're going to make, and we didn't even need to communicate.
Oh,
it
that's
was just
perfect.
Like, we can just bust it out. So it was really easy to work with each other, I think.
Charlie Engelman in the studio with us. He's a co-host. He and his sister, Kirby. It's called Weird But True. It's on Fox Saturday mornings and also on National Geographic Kids.
Nat Geo Wild is going to be on this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this isn't your first job. Your first job was you had a button making business.
Yeah,
you are a weird dude. Good weird.
Like, I like interesting things, I guess.
Explain this: a button making business.
So you know, it wasn't buttons like on a sweater, but you know, like campaign buttons.
Sure.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So I got like I thought it was a good idea in high school to purchase, like, to invest in a button making machine. So I bought one and then set up a booth at a farmer's market, and I had a bunch of magazines. And people can kind of cut out images or pictures in the magazines and make their own homemade buttons. And I thought that was like the idea. Like, no one had done this before, and I was going to make a bunch of money on it.
How'd you do?
It was a good idea, though. Like an instant button?
Yeah, right, an instant button. I made some money. I made enough.
Hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands?
Oh, hundreds. I donated a lot of it, so I'm going to keep it. But, I mean, it was just like a fun thing to do for the summer.
And how old were you when you had your own button-making business?
I think I was freshman or sophomore in high school.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
You're your own boss? You're making your own hours?
Yeah, I think so. That's
good.
I like to do it, I guess.
Somewhat of a musician? What kind of instrument do you play?
My thing, I guess, is I can play a lot of instruments. I can play like one song on an instrument to impress someone.
Yeah.
So if you like pulled out a piano or a guitar or even like a clarinet, I could be like, oh, let me try that. And I could play a song. But then if you asked me to do another, I'd be like, oh, no, just one song is the limit?
No,
no. Yeah, one song. I like fiddling around with instruments. I play piano and trumpet and guitar. I could fiddle on the harmonica and trombone, too. So I can do a lot of different things.
What about the second heaviest instrument in the world?
Wow, you're going in deep here, I guess. I can play the carillon. Have you guys ever heard of that?
I have heard of it.
The carillon?
Yeah.
What is that?
Do you know the bell tower? Like at churches?
Yes.
So some...
Or in Naperville, they have one, I think, too.
Yeah.
Some you pull with strings, like big rope, but other ones you kind of... There's a keyboard out in front of you that's like a piano, except instead they're kind of dowel rods. And instead of tinkling them with your fingers, you smash them with your fists. So I took a class in college learning how to play the Carillon, which is the bell tower.
And seems violent, Charlie.
It's a great way to like a gentle person. Some aggression, I guess.
Some people box. Some people play the Carillon.
Yeah. It's actually really nerve-wracking though, because when you're learning, it's like you can't really practice that easily because people hear you in like a 5-mile radius. So if you screw up, you're just like, well, I hope people are just kind of tuning it out.
Charlie Engelman is his name. He's the host, co-host, along with his sister Kirby, and co-creator of Weird But True, a TV series just picked up for the second season. We'll take a quick break and then pick this up in a minute. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder, and our guest is Charlie Engelman. He and his sister co-host a show called Weird But True. If you haven't seen Weird But True, start watching it. I think you'll enjoy it. So much more to ask you, and you shared some strange facts about yourself, but Wendy pointed out we haven't really talked about the strangeness of your sister, and that needs to be done.
Well, they're both quirky, right? You'll understand.
Yeah, we're both interesting people.
She went to circus school?
So Kirby is a very passionate person, and she has very interesting interests, I guess. So when she finds something that she likes, she goes into it like 110%. So like, oh, she went and saw the circus, so now she wants to go to circus school and train to be an acrobat. Or she was interested in bees. And so rather than like getting a book on bees and just watching a documentary on bees like a normal person, she decides to contact all of the expert beekeepers in the entire country, research bees for a couple months, and then purchase bees and start collecting and giving out honey, you know?
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of her style, right?
So when you got the show, did you know from day one Kirby's going to be my co-host? Did you audition other people, or how did that play out?
Kirby helped out with the first show that we did, so we won that grant and created that first show for National Geographic, and when Nat Geo saw it, they really liked Kirby. And we did this segment where Kirby climbed a giant sequoia in California, like 300 feet up in the air, and then spent the night in a hammock at the top of it.
And she is crazy, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's the real deal. She doesn't mess around. But they liked that one so much that they said, oh, she's got to be on this next one, too.
Are you guys the Donnie and Marie of Strange Science?
The Donnie and Marie? I don't even know.
You don't know who
the Osmonds? Donnie Osmond, Marie Osmond.
I'll say yes. Sure.
All right.
Sorry, Grandpa. The question didn't go over well.
Come on,
you're
Bill.
Like a young Calvin Coolidge.
It's on Fox Saturday mornings, also on Exploration.
Exploration Station is kind of their kids' science block on Saturday mornings on Fox,
And what are some of the episodes that are coming up or some cool ones that you've done that you want to share with us?
Oh, some cool ones that we did are we went diving with sharks off the coast of Florida, where we talked about kind of shark temperaments and that sharks aren't really scared of humans or aren't really there to eat humans. They're kind of just indifferent about us.
But much like if there's pizza near you, you know, you're going to take a piece.
Yeah.
Don't sharks kind of have that kind of attitude a little bit?
Well, this is how it was kind of explained to me, which I think makes sense, is sharks eat fish, right?
Yeah.
We're not like part of their diets. So it's like us seeing something that could be eaten, but is not like, I don't know, like dirt or something like that. Like, we're not going to eat that. So we kind of steer clear of it. And it's the same thing with sharks.
Then why do they bite us and eat us?
Usually it's if they're spooked or scared or threatened or something like that. So if we kind of leave them alone, then it's going to be fine.
They say always like, don't flap your feet or panic, but who can not panic if you see a fin right there? But
all right, so we dove with sharks off the coast of Florida, and it was fine, and there were 11 bull sharks down there, and it was a great afternoon.
Were you in a cage or not in a cage?
Well, I thought we were going to be in the cage, and then the guy we were with is just like, just get in, go, go, go. So we just kind of jumped off and went for it. And at the beginning, my mask flooded, so I was kind of freaking out, and it was really nerve-wracking, and the scariest moment, there are two scary moments down there. One, where a shark was about 10 feet away and going straight at my face. And it was like that Jaws shot where the shark is going right for the camera.
Yeah.
And that was a big freak out moment for me.
What'd you do?
I kind of just froze and it kind of played chicken with me and then darted off to the right. And then the other time is you're supposed to not flap your hands because they might misinterpret them as fish.
Yeah.
You're supposed to keep them really close to your chest. But at one moment, I guess I was getting a little too excited and I was waving my hands around And I got a little snap from like an 8-footer, and that was pretty scary. But I just kind of kept him in close, and for the rest of the dive, it was okay.
Wow.
Wow. I wouldn't even do it in a cage.
Nope.
Once you get down there, they're very, if you try to kind of push it out of your mind, and it really helps that Kirby was down there too, and this was like our job, so we had to get a lot of narration down there, so we just were kind of nervously talking to each other for 20 straight minutes, trying to distract ourselves from the fact that there were 11 sharks swimming around us. So that was definitely one of the more exciting episodes that we filmed.
That's pretty cool. And some of episodes that are upcoming, what do we have to look forward to?
We have a great astronaut episode where we went to Texas and filmed at the Johnson Space Center. You know, and they're like, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, that's the
place.
We
went to Houston. Yeah, we got kicked out of the control room because the lights were shining too bright. But it was fun. We got a couple other stuff down there. And we have a forensics episode coming up, which is fun. We were in our front yard filming, and the Illinois State Police was there. We had a fake crime scene set up, and of course, their television cameras, so our like, neighbors were flocking, think something terrible happened.
Of course.
Yeah, but that's a really exciting one that comes
up. Do you have enough ideas, Charlie, to where if this ran 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you go, that's not a problem, this is limitless. Are you in that situation?
I think so.
Good.
Yeah, because it's just goofing around, and so like the forensics episode, like, what do we want to do? So me and my sister dressed up as cops from Boston at a diner and pretended to talk about some crazy cases that we solved, which were actually real life cases. You know, we can do stuff like that.
Were you in a Shark Tank for that?
No.
You still weren't in a Shark Tank.
No,
you're
Shark
so
Tank.
Brave.
No cages.
So brave.
Yeah.
Now, a little information we found out off the air. Your mom and your aunt went to Scotland with Steve Bertrand.
Mm-hmm. Steve Bertrand Travel.
Yes. So maybe you could hook up with Steve Bertrand Travel and he can help send you to these crazy locales to do more for your show, Weird But True.
That sounds like a phenomenal idea.
I mean, you would do it.
Super nice guy, right?
He's a very nice guy.
He's all right.
He's explained to us.
He's all right. He's not too bad.
Nope. Well, continued success with this. Weird But True. You can catch it on Fox on Saturday mornings and Exploration Station. And what season number is this that you're...
Just wrapped up season one, and we're hoping to start season two soon.
That's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
You've come a long way.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. We're very proud of you. I always like to see guys in the area.
Again, Grandpa, you are really hitting it home. We're very proud of you, Sonny.
We have to take a break because I need to whittle and yell at kids on my lawn. Charlie, thank you so much. We'll
Thanks,
take a quick
Charlie.
Break. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.